Chapter 5. I knew my husband. I was confident of that. No matter what, I knew him. I knew that he didn't like tomatoes until he was 25. I knew that after we saw The Matrix, he cried out, "Keanu!" in his sleep, and then insisted that I'd misheard. I knew that his voice softened and his jokes grew sillier in the presence of cute girls. And I knew that this was less true now than when I first met him, so that no one but me might detect the change. There was no undoing my knowledge of him. Maddie would be sure to tell me when she was 16 or so, "You don't know me." And she'd be wrong, because I'd always know how her voice sounded, weirdly authoritative despite its high pitch, when she was 3 and said, "From now on, when I'm naughty, I want to decide my punishment." And maybe I'd say to Nathan, 10 years after our divorce, if we got one, that he didn't know me anymore. And I'd be wrong, because he'd always know what animal sounds I made in labor. He'd always know I was ticklish only in the arches of my feet. We want to be known when we do, and we want to be unknown when we don't. Just like we want someone to touch us and kiss us until we don't anymore. We make our bodies off limits again, but still that other person did touch us. He ran his fingers down our inner thighs. He slipped his tongue inside our mouth. Nathan. My Nathan. He was so careful, even self-righteous, about what we owe to others. The sort to overpay when it came to splitting the bill, rather than risk shorting someone, or perhaps even worse, risk confronting them about their own stingy inclination to put in $2 less than they owed. He'd once refused to eat a $30 roast he'd accidentally overcooked because he said he'd ruined it. He'd made what should have been rare and tender into something tough and common, he said. And he threw the meat thermometer into the garbage, claiming it had betrayed him, and it was only my intervention that stopped him from tossing the roast in after it.